Good morning. What in the world are you wearing, Judah? That doesn't even look like Star Wars. What is that? Is that Stormtrooper? Oh, it looks like an Among Us guy, kind of. All right, anyway. Hi, buddy, come on up. Come have a seat. All right, so did you guys know this baby right here is doing something brand new this week? He's learning to crawl. Yeah. You might not remember when you learned to crawl. Good morning, hi. Learning to crawl is kind of hard because you fall on your face a lot. He's learning to crawl, but he hasn't figured out how to move his legs, so he just drags himself on the ground like he's in the desert and he's really thirsty. And he's like, water. And so he just pulls himself along, right? He's not going to demonstrate on this carpet that we're walking on, but he's now going to be really dangerous to himself because at home we have Legos everywhere. And we have lots of stuff that he can find and try to eat. So give me some examples. What would you say to a baby who's crawling towards Legos? What would you say if he's in danger? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, and what would you tell baby? Yeah, what would you, pretend you're talking to him. What would you say? For example, stop! What else could you say to Abel? Yes? Don't go over there. What else? If it was mom or dad, we'd say, ah! You know, just real quick. Yeah, right, the Legos will eat you. Do you remember, do you remember what we said to Ezra when he was going towards power outlets? Yeah, we'd go bzzz, and then he'd stop and look at us in terror. Yeah, so we've got to come up with lots of words so that Abel knows, stop, no, be careful, whoa. And in today's gospel story, Jesus, he doesn't say bzzz, but he kind of does. He tells his friends four blessings, really good things, but he also says four times, look out, whoa, not that way, bzzz. Right? But before I tell you about that, I got to tell you about donuts. So Emmett came home from school this week, and he says, Dad, you know, people who don't know Jesus are like a donut. It's like, well, what do you mean?
I know that song.
You remember that? So you probably learned that at school, too, with Emmett. And he says, well, because when you don't have Jesus in the middle of your life, there's a hole in the middle, just like a donut. And I said, well, that means Jesus is the jelly filling or the chocolate pudding in the middle of the donut hole. That sounds pretty good. And Jesus, in his blessings and woes in today's gospel, Jesus says, blessed are you who are hungry because you're going to be filled. Blessed are you who are hungry for donuts, or blessed are you who feel really empty inside, because Jesus is going to fill you with good things, with food and with faith and with love. It's awesome. Blessed are you who are empty, for you will be filled. And so Jesus says, blessing, and Jesus says, be careful. If you're already full, then you don't need me. So Jesus says, if you're full already, because I have come to fill your life with my goodness and my love. Okay. The last thing I want to say before we pray together is that the choir just sang a beautiful song, didn't they? And they sang a song that was written by our choir director, Maxine. She wrote that song. It's called Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled, which is a fancy way of saying, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. And Jesus has a blessing for us singing that song and a blessing for Maxine, who wrote that song. And Jesus today is going to say, blessed are you who are crying, for you will laugh and you will leap for joy. And so that song was one beautiful example of how even when we're crying or even when we're hungry, Jesus has come to fill us with his love and goodness, just like an awesome donut with pudding in the middle or jelly. Pretty good. Yep. So let's pray together. I'm going to say a line and you can feel free to echo me in our prayer. Okay, are you ready to pray, Abel? All right. Dear Jesus, thank you for filling us with your love and goodness. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for warning us. We pray that we would trust in you, so our hearts wouldn't be scared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. So good to see you. Head on back to your families and listen up for those blessings and bzzz in the gospel. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. Please stand in rehearsal of the resurrection and out of reverence for Christ and his holy gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, the freaks and the geeks have come in from north, south, capital, country, and coast to see this Jesus who has come downhill from the mountain with 12 newly appointed apostles. That means the super disciples, I suppose. The crowd was troubled with all kinds of unclean spirits and various kinds of dis-ease. These are the least, the last, the little, and the dead. These are the ones who just long to touch Jesus, that they might get some of that Jesus jelly donut filling for themselves. Some are coming with empty stomachs or poverty of spirits. Some are coming in fullness, not knowing that Jesus needs room in them as well. Whether they are empty or filled, they have this curiosity about this Jesus. And as the crowd receives healing, Jesus sits down among them, and he looks up at the crowds and the kinds of people that most of the time are looked down upon. And he looks up to them and speaks to them of blessings and of woes. Jesus, who had ascended with his apostles on a mountain, comes down to minister to the crowds and to give his words of blessing and woe. And so he looks up at the disciples and he says, "Bingo, you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Bingo, you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And the weeping will laugh, and the reviled and hated will be leaping for joy and rewarded in heaven." The leaping for joy, it's the same wonderful word. It's like a skipping calf or a young goat. Leaping for joy like John the Baptist did in his mother's womb. Leaping for joy, those who are, for the sake of Jesus now, mocked, misunderstood, or persecuted. He directs these words of blessing and woe at people that he has just healed. He directs these words of blessing and woe at his own disciples that he's called to be his representatives. He speaks these words of blessing and woe not as a condition to enter his kingdom or to follow him, but as words of life within that relationship with him. Within the kingdom of God, we are blessed and we are warned. We receive blessing and woe as following Jesus. And Jesus knows that the crowd knows that the blessed in society are the elite, the ones who have it all, the ones who lord it over those in the crowd who have nothing to speak of, or at least at best, a daily bread. Jesus knows to be blessed means to be in that elite upper crust. And yet he looks at them and says, "Bingo, elite, blessed are you now, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Not yours will be the kingdom, but yours is right now in the promise of this word. In this upside-down kingdom of Jesus's, poverty is not a reflection of divine displeasure. Poverty is something that God uses to increase our dependence upon Him and to fill us with Himself. And there can be all kinds of joy in the midst of poverty because everything contained in the kingdom of Jesus is their possession. There's room for that jelly or chocolate filling. And rather, what poverty there is to depend upon nobody in life, and to trust no one but yourself, and perhaps not even yourself. True poverty. In Matthew's Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, you just get the blessings, and then he moves on to the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In Luke's gospel, he keeps a closer look at the people who are quite literally on the margins. And so with the four blessings, Jesus then delivers four woes, these warnings. And it's reminiscent of Mary's song, which is also found in Luke's gospel. As Mary newly discovered that the Spirit would bring her life within her womb, she sings that God has given strength with his arm and scattered the proud. He's brought down the powerful and lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. And so the woes come with the blessing. St. Augustine's thinking about this. What in the world could be blessed about weeping? What could be blessed about your hearts being troubled? And he says, you know, there is something beneficial about the sorrow over our sin, about the sorrow over our own mortality, our own limitations. There's something beneficial about that sorrow because through repentance comes life. Through these tears come laughter. A lot of people the last couple of years fell in love with Ted Lasso, an Apple TV show. It's not a family show, but Ted Lasso is an upstanding, clean-cut Midwestern football coach who is hired to coach a soccer team in Great Britain. He's totally out of his water. He's out of his element. He doesn't even understand soccer, which is part of the comedy of the show. And he is so positive, so looking on the bright side. He wins people over from the lowly team manager to the boss who's out to get him. He wins everybody over. And during the pandemic, Ted Lasso caught fire, winning Emmy Awards and filling people with just, here's a show where somebody's positivity is overcoming all odds, right? It's comfort food. But then Ted Lasso had a second season. And the second season really starts to explore, and this is no spoiler, but the second season starts to dig in a little deeper and say, why is Ted Lasso so positive all the time? You know, is he hiding something, or is something else going on? And it digs a little further behind the positivity, which is why a lot of people said, hey, give me more of season one. I don't want season two to go down this route. And Ted Lasso is meeting with a therapist at one point. And she says, she kind of quotes Jesus, but then changes it at the end. She says, Ted, the truth will set you free, but first it will tick you off. And this is the kind of truth, to an even greater extent, that Jesus brings in his blessings and his woes. That he, the truth, will set us free, but not until he brings us through death into life. Not until he shakes us of our sin and doubt and fear and lifts us up into the life that is found in him. Because as he gives the blessings and the woes, you find out one way or another, everybody's going to be empty. Everybody's going to go hungry. If you're hungry now, blessed are you, for you will be filled. If you're not hungry now, woe to you, because Jesus would fill you instead of that other thing, that other dependency, that other idol. But everyone eventually gets hungry. Everyone eventually is spiritually impoverished. And so Jesus says, wherever you are in that, there's a blessing or a woe for you, as the case may be. But what happens to the rich when they go empty? Well, then blessed are the newly empty, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' gifts are for all, without condition of what we bring to the relationship. That's the grace of God. Whatever we bring into the relationship, whether we're empty or full, Jesus will empty us or observe that we're empty so that he can fill us with his life and light. In fact, he does this because he is the Word of God made flesh, who, as the scriptures say, became poor for our sakes and made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and being found in human likeness, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And as Flannery O'Connor wrote, you can't be poorer than dead. Jesus, who made himself poor, that he might be filled up with your sins and mine, that he might be filled with our grave, so that he can, on the third day, be raised again, overcoming all of those things, overcoming those odds, not with Midwestern football coach positivity, but with the life and power of God's Word. Jesus and his riches are to fill us. So Christ's word now takes us into death and plants us in his new life. He plants us right there in Psalm 1, which we've heard today, that in a world full of advice and paths and seats from which to scoff at the sad results of all those paths and all that advice, Christ's own are like trees planted by the streams, whose fruit is born in due season, and in all things they prosper. Rooted in Christ, who plants us by the waters, doesn't mean there's always fruitfulness, but fruit comes in due season. And sometimes the trees appear woeful in the winter, but spring is in the air. Christ's own are planted like trees, because Christ himself, Paul told us in the first reading, Christ himself is the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the tree of life for our sakes, and we are planted in him by those waters. We have a monthly book club, the Reformation Book Club, and we just met yesterday. We're in the middle of this wonderful book by Tish Harrison Warren. She's an Anglican priest in New York, and she actually now writes a regular column for the New York Times. So she has quite a public voice coming from a Christian perspective. And she has a beautiful book called Prayer in the Night. It's really an incredible read. We'll have a bunch of extra copies in our library in a few weeks when our club's done. And in this book, she describes a lot of her personal losses and griefs. But then she tells a story about being a young woman who went off to Ireland and met a missionary there serving in Ireland. And she was unloading to this missionary all of her struggles, her weariness, her doubts. And the missionary is listening intently. And then when Tish is finished, the missionary leans forward and simply says, and I don't know how she would sound in Irish, but, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? It's really another way to get at this blessing and this woe. That as Tish spilled out the woes of her life and the emptiness and the loss, here comes this word of Christ through a missionary in Ireland to say, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? And Tish goes on to comment that Jesus promises nothing more or less than himself. He will yoke himself to us and never leave our side. He won't take away the weight we bear, but he will bear it with us. Any happiness, success, or desire fulfilled is a gift to be received gratefully. It's gravy. God promises us simply himself. He refuses to be an end to any other means. God promises us simply himself. By his mercy, we taste eternal life. I don't have a better place to leave us this morning than that question. Is Jesus enough? Whether you're hungry or filled, is Jesus enough? And it's my job and my privilege to tell you that Jesus is enough for you, Bethesda. Jesus alone is enough for us as a congregation meeting on our annual basis today. Jesus is enough, Bethesda. Jesus is enough for your woes and for the blessings that may come. So blessed are you who are face planted, because Jesus has planted you by his life-giving streams. Blessed are you who are scoffed at, or who find your beliefs being scoffed at by those whose vision is limited to this world alone. For your fruit will come in season. And blessed are you who feel that your leaping days are over. For surely your reward is great in heaven. Blessed are you. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen.
As we get ready to sing the hymn of the day today, if you thought the